Hello and welcome to End Goals, an LCMS Youth Ministry podcast. I'm host Reverend Mark Kiesling, and I'm with DCE Juliana Schultz. We are here to bring parents, church workers, and lay leaders discussions and resources to help your youth ministry meet its end goal, which is young people who are disciples of Jesus Christ for life. Today, we're going to talk about pornography and its effect on young people and the culture around them.
We are continuing our series on the importance of having authentic, truthful, honest conversations in youth ministry, especially around topics that matter but are definitely not always easy to discuss. And these are the kinds of conversations that we can, I certainly have had the experience of feeling uncomfortable or maybe a little stuck, especially if they come up, you know, suddenly or what feels to you like randomly, can definitely be difficult to have kind of in our back pockets knowing what to say. And sometimes they're the kinds of conversations that we feel uncomfortable even when we plan. So when we have to teach the sixth commandment or we're talking about God's gifts of sex, we definitely can fall into that category. So parents, pastors, teachers, other caring adults can find ourselves kind of wondering how to approach that topic in a way that's faithful, that's age appropriate, and that's grounded in love and grace.
Yes, around a topic like that, there's always a lot to cover with young people. Each conversation may look a little different depending on the setting or even the individual young person. And this happens, like you said, in confirmation class, maybe youth Bible study, or even around a dinner table at home when these questions can come up or conversations can happen. Beyond simply addressing the do's and don'ts, though, it's also important to teach about the blessings that come from God's design for sex and relationships and how those blessings are meant to be understood and honored in our daily lives.
And parents are on the front line of this work in modeling and teaching, especially as our culture pushes these conversations to younger. This is not just a youth thing. This becoming a children's ministry piece as well, as that church has a vital role in playing to equip parents, providing ongoing teaching and support young people, and incorporating parents as partners who help young people to live that chaste life under the forgiveness of the cross.
And to help encourage us in that work, we're joined today by Daniel Weiss, who will be talking with us about the important and challenging topic of pornography. Daniel Weiss is the executive director of the Sexual Integrity Leadership Summit, which supports, equips, and collaborates with Christian leaders to promote gospel-centered sexuality in the church. Daniel and his wife live in the Wisconsin countryside with five children. The Weiss family are members of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Omro, Wisconsin. He has also co-authored the book Treading Boldly Through a Pornographic World. And this last summer, he spoke at the LCMS Youth Gathering in sessions for both youth and adults on the topic of pornography and also attended the event as an adult leader. Thanks so much for doing that, Daniel.
Well, it was my pleasure to be at the gathering, and I'm certainly blessed to join you for the conversation today. So thank you.
You bet.
So we got to hear about you briefly in that intro, but maybe tell us something more about your vocations, your roles in youth ministry, and other things that bring you joy.
Sure. Well, I actually have been working on sexuality issues going back to 2002. I took a job at Focus on the Family as a research analyst, working on another topic, but they decided they needed someone to handle the issue of pornography. That had been a very important topic for Dr. Dobson and the ministry over the years. It's certainly an important topic for Christians in the church. So I wasn't looking to get into this kind of work, but I found it suited me. I had an analytical mind, so I did a lot of research on the harms of pornography, understanding how people access it and use it, the impacts it has on people. I did policy work. I worked with our counseling department on recovery work. And also, one of the best parts of my job at Focus was helping the ministry articulate a positive vision of God's design for sexuality. Mm-hmm. So going beyond the, what should we not do, to really exploring and bringing out a positive and beautiful vision of what God's plan is for humanity. And it is really glorious. So I started that work there till 2010. Then I moved to Wisconsin with my wife and our children. And I felt God leading me to continue this work. So we started a nonprofit and have been doing nonprofit work with churches and other leaders for the past 13 and a half years. So that's kind of I've been working on these issues for a lot longer than most people have been thinking about a lot of things. So, I've seen a lot happen in the last 25 years, so to speak. And the problems with youth, really haven't changed in substance, but they have changed in degree. Mm-hmm. So a lot of this content that we're worried about today, it was around in the early 2000s. A lot of the parents today were kids back in the late 90s and the early 2000s, and they were encountering pornography online already, and it was already becoming a thing. So this is now kind of a second or even a third generation issue in our culture, if we can kind of go back to the sexual revolution as well. You know, one of the things that is really exciting about this is I think a lot of folks, you know, youth and adults alike really haven't heard that positive vision. They don't really have a well-rounded understanding of how our sexuality fits into a larger life of discipleship. And so we tend to segment these things out. And I think it's really beautiful when people start to put it together that God did made us sexual beings. He wanted us to enjoy this aspect. Yes, it has absolutely been twisted and distorted by sin for all of us. But that Jesus came and he can restore that and transform and redeem those areas of brokenness in our lives. So there is a positive, godly message to bring to people, especially in a culture that's just so abusive and exploitative.
Yeah. I appreciate you talking about in the book that I think I probably came in the time where when these topics were discussed, it was more on the don'ts and not necessarily maybe on some of the positives. So understand that from sometimes our Christian education that that can happen. So appreciate you bringing that up. One of the things that we love to hear about from leaders like yourself is about their junior and senior high school years. Can you share for us how Jesus used a key moment or moments or people to bring you close to him or the church?
Yeah, well, like a lot of kids, I grew up in a small town in Wisconsin, and there was kind of two things people did in their off time. They drank a lot, and kids had sex. And my own journey was I was part of the drinking crowd, but I wasn't part of the sex crowd. I did go to church. My family had its brokenness, like all families do, but we went to church, and I stayed connected to the church. And that was one thing that God got a hold of me very early, around 13, and I pledged my virginity to him. I know a lot of people have done that. In my case, that really penetrated to the core of my being. And so when I was in, I did get myself in some tempting situations, but I never went ahead with it. Mm-hmm. And so I don't call that virtuous. Mm-hmm. I think God saved me from causing more damage in my life. But that's something I think, you know, at that time period, that's when kids are trying to figure themselves out. And I remember I was pretty devoted to my youth group. We met regularly. I actually went to the youth gathering when it was in Denver way back in the late 80s. So 80 or 89 or 90, I think it was. And that was pretty foundational. So it was really neat to come back as an adult for the first time and see the kids at the youth gathering have some very similar experiences as far as being overwhelmed by the amount of kids that share their beliefs and just the energy and excitement to be around your peers who also love Jesus the way you do. Yeah. So that was pretty influential for me in my life of faith.
Cool.
Yeah, and we appreciate that you not only came to this gathering as a speaker, but as an adult leader. It's a bold double move. What do you love about working with young people and their parents in your congregation and in your community?
Yeah, I think one of the things that I'm not sure I love this, but I see it as a necessary thing is honestly, if you ask anyone, and nearly 100% of the time, they will tell you they don't want to talk about these issues. And so I get to be the guy that opens the door. And I think that's one of the things that I do. Like I said, I wouldn't have chosen it, but that God has prepared me for. I have no problem talking about sexuality, again, in appropriate ways. But so many people are looking for guidance. It's a joy that I get to be there to either be a sounding board or to give some counsel that most people haven't heard before because they might be too afraid to bring this up to anyone, much less someone who has actually studied it and might know a little bit more than they do on it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, like you said before, pornography is not a new issue, but certainly the internet and new technologies have made it more accessible. What do we know about how early and often young people are exposed to pornography?
Yeah, there's not good research on exact ages, but from the past research, I think it was in around 2005 or so, some research conducted by the Crimes Against Children Research Center found that the average age of first exposure was 14.8 years for girls and 14.3 for boys. Now, that's almost 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. So we can anticipate those are lower numbers. And many people report young as 8. Mm-hmm. Kids are definitely being exposed at even preschool ages. I don't think that's the average mm-hmm. or the kind of the medium for people. But the chance of a kid being exposed increases greatly if they're as their parents are either unaware or not doing something to specifically prevent it. Mm-hmm. So some of this is preventable, but some of this is absolutely part of our culture and will never fully protect our kids. Yeah. So I would say to parents, I always say to parents and youth leaders as well, you don't have to ask whether your kids are going to go looking for pornography. Pornography is looking for them, yeah. mm-hmm. and it tries to show up in yep. places kids are. So you need to expect, you know, that your kids are being exposed to it. They may not even understand it,
right?
But they're certainly at a threat for that exposure.
Yeah.
And are we, as we get into this technology, is that first exposure more, I understand probably more and more kind of inadvertent, like they didn't necessarily go look for it?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the research shows kids are both encountering it without looking for it, and they are still looking for it as well. Mm-hmm. But most of the time, your first exposure for almost anyone, no one's looking for this if they haven't already heard about it or learned about it from someone else. Mm-hmm. And so most exposure is accidental. And that's why when parents ask, when should I start talking to my kids about pornography? Or the more basic question, when should I start talking to my kids about sex? I say, as soon as they can understand language. Mm-hmm. And that what I mean by that is we're giving our kids messages about sexuality, both verbal and nonverbal, throughout our lives. And what we want to do as Christian parents is normalize the goodness of our creation as male and female, normalize the goodness of marriage as the place we're called to create families. And then also, at the same time, normalize the fact that our kids are growing up in a fallen world where many, if not most people, have departed from God's way, and that's why they see what they see in the culture. So if we can give them the truth first, they're going to start to see the counterfeits more easily. Mm. And I think that's a real key thing, is to just, you can talk about pornography with younger kids without being explicit and just say, you know, these are pictures where people are, you know, images where people are don't have their clothes on. And that's something that's going to harm your mind right now. Mm-hmm. It's not that it's bad or, you know, or you're bad, but it's not something your brain is designed to handle at this point. And so it's really, if you see that, let me know. Mm-hmm. In that very non-anxious, calm presence, like, let's have a plan if you see something that disturbs you online. Mm-hmm. And let's talk about it so that we can protect you in a safe way, not punish you for something that you didn't try to do. Mm-hmm.
No, I appreciate that, you know, that talking about it early and being in front of it, because, you know, as I looked at some statistics, right, we're seeing that pornography is not only been more prevalent, but more socially acceptable. You know, as Christians, we know what we believe about the truth about God's gift of sex, but this idea that, like, this doesn't seem to bother a lot of people in our culture. As Christians, we know what God desires for that gift of sexuality. What are some of the impacts you see on young people who are regularly viewing pornography?
Yeah, there is actually a lot of research on here, but it's interesting because we can't do direct research on kids, exposing them to pornography is unethical. That's interesting.
Yes,
right. So the culture has no problem experimenting on our kids, but ethical researchers can't do that. And that tells us something, because they recognize the harm from the mm-hmm. get-go. Mm-hmm. So some of the impacts that they found, and even going back, you know, 15, 20 years, because they've been studying the impacts of pornography, even when it was just, you know, print magazine type stuff or cable TV porn back in the 80s, perhaps, is where you might get access. And there, you know, exposure and use of pornography has a whole range of negative outcomes. One of the ones people don't think about is it actually prevents family formation. Mm-hmm. So we see in our culture today, you know, the stereotypical hit, you know, the kid that, you know, young adult that goes to school maybe and then ends up living in the basement of the parents' house and they're not launching. It's that failure to launch. Pornography is undoubtedly part of that because it really stunts a person's ability to form relationships. It actually suppresses their desire for relationships. So pornography teaches that having a loving, giving, caring relationship is not at all advantageous. Mm-hmm. You just want to have sexual pleasure without any emotional, spiritual attachments. And you have to understand, it's not that people look at porn and say, yeah, I never thought about it. That's a great idea. I want to think like that from now on. What happens is it's very subtle. And the more you are exposing yourself to those messages, the more they become part of your worldview and part of the way you act out life. So we see young people that are immersed in porn have less desire to get married, less desire to have kids. They feel that monogamy and fidelity are negative concepts. They feel like risky sex is the best sex. So there's a whole host of both, you know, emotional, spiritual, and physical impacts that come to people, whether they're young people or adults, these negative harms. The problem with kids is they don't have a brain that is able to process this. It's not mature enough to process this the way an adult brain is. So the impacts are far more harmful to kids. And the younger you go, the harder it is for them to separate out truth from fiction in their life. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
One of the things that we know is that three major factors contribute to increased access to pornography: affordability, accessibility, and anonymity. Knowing this, and you kind of touched on this before, what can parents and guardians do, as well as supportive adults, to encourage youth maybe to stay away from it? Or, as you said, it's going to happen probably anyway. How to deal with it, how to talk about it, how to walk alongside a young person when they maybe have viewed porn or have questions about it?
Yeah, I would say for parents and youth leaders, be prepared that all or nearly all of the kids in your youth group have been exposed to pornography, especially later in high school. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean that will happen for every single young person, but it does happen for most, statistically speaking. And again, they may not be looking for it. It might be a friend that just shows them something on the phone. But we encourage parents to kind of guide, guard, and protect. And so guiding is like that life counsel, like helping them understand, you know, what are you trying to live towards? How do you explore your faith? How do you live out your faith in the midst of puberty or as your desires are growing stronger as your body matures? How do you live? You talk that out with them and you give guidance. We talk about putting together an internet use or a mm-hmm. technology use contract mm-hmm. with between parents and kids. And so you spell out what is kind of the behaviors that are expected. You spell out some consequences if those are violated. And it's actually very honoring to our kids because it acknowledges to them they have agency mm-hmm. and they have the ability to pursue health here with our help. And I think, as parents, if you do that, be prepared to be flexible and negotiate a little bit with your kids. Most of us would probably be more protective than our kids want. And so there is a balance there about, because we don't want to protect them so much that they haven't been able to be tested and figure out how to go through that. Because if they leave home and they've never had an opportunity to face temptation and to have help go through it, there's a good chance they're going to kind of chuck all our good advice when they're on their own. So it really needs to be a relational thing, not a contractual thing. But at some point, you just really want to, so the policies that you set up about internet use, phone use, computer use, that's kind of a guarding thing. But the protecting thing is, I just encourage every family to put some kind of filtering software or accountability software on all their devices. Mm-hmm. It's not a catch. I got you. It's not a gotcha. It's a, we care so much, we want to reduce exposure. And if something happens, we want to talk about it. So if you hear me right, it's like relationally parents can be guides, they can be guards, and sometimes they just have to put their foot down and say no to some things that they know are going to be destructive or detrimental.
And I think there's so many things in that context where you can explain to a young person, you know, whether we talk about smoking, we talk about other parts of life, to say, we know these things are unhealthy, whether it's an age appropriate type thing or just in general, to be like, here's another thing that we know is not healthy. It's not God pleasing. And another way to introduce a part of, again, the brokenness of the world and things that are there, that's a part of it, and help them build those abilities to say no by the work of the Holy Spirit in their lives. I'm going to be able to see, be able to spot those things too. So like you said, they're prepared when even the temptation may be greater, when they have more independence, which is a great relational thing to be, for parents to be able to build in their young people.
Yeah, and there's, you know, a friend of mine wrote a book, it's called Father-Son Accountability, and it's a really kind of an interesting concept where dads are leading their teenage sons in conversations and check-ins, and it's a very come alongside a son, and moms could do this with daughters as well, of course, but I think there's a real need for dads to step in and show their sons, yes, men are tempted, godly men are tempted, and how do we deal with that as godly men? How do I deal with, hey, I had to rein in my thoughts this week, but to let a son know, a child know, hey, it is a struggle. You're not alone and isolated in this, but we together can make each other stronger. And, you know, that's not for someone who's in an active addiction as an adult. You don't share that with your kid. Hey, I've been looking at porn lately. It's too much for a child to bear. Mm-hmm. But for someone who's not in kind of an active struggle, just to kind of check in with their child, mm-hmm. say, how are you doing with this stuff? How are the kids at school talking about mm-hmm. it? Where do you feel anxiety, or where do you feel left out in all this? Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, the influence of parents and youth leaders is so valuable and strong to kids. I think we underappreciate how much influence we have as adults.
Yeah. So we're looking at this conversation. How might the questions or conversation go if a young person has maybe been unintentionally, if they weren't looking for it, they ended up getting something sent to them or ended up in a place on the internet that we have all done a search that we thought was innocuous that came back one way. And then how might that questions and conversation go differently if it's a youth coming to you and maybe confessing they've been intentionally seeking out pornography?
Yeah, actually, I've got a word that might help in both of those situations, and the word is curiosity. Mm-hmm. And that's not normally a word you would attach to pornography use, right? Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, the alarm bells are going off. What we mean by that is, and this is especially true for the one who has been seeking it out, you want to invite them to share what was going on with them. And so, for someone who was seeking it out, just curiosity would be like, well, what were you feeling right before you went online? Well, I was feeling depressed, or I was feeling left out from my friends, or I was feeling anxious from a test, or there was a fight in my home and I was withdrawing or retreating. That can help kids understand what they're doing, what pornography is doing in their life. It's a place they're going to meet their pain needs. And pornography does not help with pain. It delays it a little bit, and then it comes back with shame, and it's much harder. But even someone who has been just inadvertently exposed, I encourage the parent to have curiosity as well, and to say, how did that make you feel? And be prepared for those answers that may not be what you expect. They might say, if they're honest, that actually is really exciting. You want them to tell you that, because now you know what they're dealing with internally. You don't want them to pretend it was nothing. And kids will minimize this and try and get out of it because it's an uncomfortable situation. But I would say just lovingly continue to push into that and say, you know, have you been feeling anxious? You know, you had that encounter last week. Has it still been coming back to mind this week? Is it coming up, you know, in your thought life? And prayer can do a lot. I've prayed with my son. We pray that God would block or cover those images in the mind and fears, we do that as well. And I've found that to be very effective. I mean, I'm not promising that works for everyone, but the more intentional we can be with our kids to just help them understand what they saw was not good for them, it can be harmful. And some kids, you know, usually not after one exposure, but if there's an ongoing problem, you know, Christian counsel is something that you might consider just to help break out of some of those habits and those wrong attitudes that are underneath it.
I think so much that can play into too, as well as it's, you know, something like a topic like pornography, but we've talked to about technology and how that plays on a mind as well. So like you got maybe multiple things that adolescents have not in previous generations had to deal with, mind, brain development, that type of thing. So always good to have those other resources that are there to help us have those conversations. Along that lines, I'm curious, I don't know when you're out doing your consulting work, if these are the kind of conversations you have. We talk about obviously the important role of parents. And we also talk about within youth ministry to partner with parents. Maybe what are some things that you might say about how the church or youth ministry within a congregation or children ministry can really walk alongside parents and resource them as they try to help their young people stay clear of pornography, understand it, and then also certainly be there as a caring presence that if there is exposure to that?
Yeah, I strongly believe in what you said, that, you know, church youth leaders, pastor, other youth leaders should be partnering with parents. I think it needs to be a partnership where there's back and forth. I think too often parents just hope the youth group handles this, and the youth group, and I've talked to youth leaders, they really don't want to handle it. They want to ask parents to handle it. And the thing is kids are being left out in that. I think if youth leaders can very intentionally gather their parents together to say, we'd like to address this with our kids. First of all, you have a right to opt your child out if you're not comfortable with that. You should never force this on anyone. But then ask the parents the things they're concerned about. And you can develop a plan. I think the best case scenario is if the church and parents together develop some programming ideas where there are where kids are getting messages that are being reinforced at church, in the youth group, and at home. And I think that's one of the missing pieces. Like, Mark, you mentioned kind of the purity movement when we were younger. Good ideas, didn't realize at the time that some of them would go awry. But, you know, one of the things they found in some research done in the late 90s and early 2000s is that the kids that made kind of virginity pledges or promises, those that were supported by a larger community delayed sex much, much longer. There was a community piece to that that was essential. It wasn't just about, you know, kind of a rah-rah pep rally for purity, and I'm excited and I'm swept up into this. Those pledges didn't seem to last very long in the research. But when there was a community together talking about it and supporting those kids' choices, the outcomes were much, much better. I think that's what a church and a home partnership can look like, is we're going to talk about some of these tough things, and we're going to say to the kids, go back home and talk to your parents about what we talked about tonight, because they already know the topics, you know, and let everyone's on the same page for our kids. And I think what they're going to experience is understanding how much you value them and how much you're caring for and supporting them with some pretty challenging topics for young people today.
I think as we partner with parents and as we talk about this, how we're going to talk about this with young people, I do think there are times where we're going to run into, we have some maybe adults who are not wanting to have that conversation because they themselves are struggling in those with pornography. How can adults talk about and model for youth how to deal with pornography in our own lives as we're like having this conversation, maybe prepping to talk to kids and are then kind of maybe thinking, oh, I might not be a great model on this in some ways.
Yeah, well, one of the things this generation values more than just about anything is authenticity. And they really want to believe, like they need to believe that you care and you're being authentic and genuine before they're going to trust you enough to listen to you. So for the parents or the youth leaders, hey, I had problems in my life. I, I was sexually active before I got married, or I was sexually active before college, before I found Jesus. And now I have turned away from that. But that's part of my story. That's part of my past. I think that that is absolutely okay and even important to let kids know that we've walked this road just as they are. And most of us have been severely wounded by it in some way, shape, or form, whether through pornography use. Some of us were abused in intimate relationships or exploited or just mistreated. Some of us grew up without healthy role models. So pretty much no one escapes life without a broken sexuality. I mean, we know this. Mm-hmm. And so to normalize the fact that this is a struggle the church has and that Jesus is not afraid of, it's something he wants us to walk together. I think, frankly, I think our leaders in the church, I want to encourage them to be more bold and more assertive to talk about these issues, not just with youth, but with the whole congregation, because the adults in the congregation are in the same boat. They don't know if they can safely bring their struggles up to pastor, mm-hmm. or maybe to the men's or women's leader. They need to see that it's okay, that the church is okay and willing to deal with these topics. So I do encourage pastors to talk from the pulpit, not graphically, but most of what we're talking about is identity first. The activity flows out of that. Well, we can preach about identity all day long from the pulpit without offending someone, and we can do it well. And then we can have more appropriate conversations that go deeper in settings like small groups or Bible studies or Sunday school groups. But this is, we do need to lead, because the culture is not afraid,
right,
to talk about sexuality. The culture is evangelizing our kids, mm-hmm. As well as the non-Christian kids. And so really, if they're ever going to hear an alternative or an antidote to this culture, it's got to be through the church and it's got to be through the home together. Mm-hmm. So I just want to encourage parents that kids aren't afraid of this, and we need to get over our fear of talking about it, because they're not at all afraid to talk about this if they know that we can present our full selves with them. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. To that last question, how can adults talk about and model for youth? I think, you know, the one thing I'd want parents to know, especially, and certainly any youth leaders, you know, if you're struggling with these issues yourself, I mean, Jesus wants you to bring your full self to him. And I don't remember the exact theologian who said this, but one of kind of the founding church fathers way back in the first millennium said, you know, that which isn't brought to the cross isn't subsumed into the life of Jesus, the life and death. So we tend to bring our good selves to church, right? We dress nice and we have the smile and we kind of hide what's really going on sometimes. And of course, you have to be safe with, you know, who you share things with. But I really feel like Jesus wants us to be healed. He doesn't want us to suffer. Mm-hmm. And so really, if it's a struggle you have, reach out to someone trusted. The first step is just admitting it. And there's a great deal of freedom in being able to say, I'm struggling and I need help. And then to find some support after that as well. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I appreciate, you know, both wanting to care for adult leaders, for parents, and for youth. Everybody talking about this and being open about it really does help us to both leave it at the cross, know that, find forgiveness and finding a way forward together in community. I appreciate that.
Thanks so much, Daniel, for this important work on this topic, and certainly your book and so many other resources that you've provided.
Yeah, well, absolutely. I love that the church handled this at the youth gathering, and I look forward to more robust things to come as well.
We are thankful for Daniel's time and certainly his investment in the youth gathering this last summer and other resourcing that he does. Such an important topic. I've read most of his book that he provided too, and one thing that I do really appreciate he said in the podcast is, you know, what can we do as parents and church workers and lay leaders when we talk about these topics of sexuality and sexual temptation and certainly the world that our young people are in, to talk about the positives, that the gift that God has given to us in our sexual identities, and also the gift of sex itself and the gift really of relationships, what a blessing that is, and to talk about that positive side with also the ability too, where God has given us the commandments of thou shalt not. And so making that together to where I think, like, I look back on it, maybe in my high school years, I heard a lot of maybe the don'ts, and maybe could have been balanced out with a little bit more of the positives, and how that plays out, and maybe a better realistic understanding of that. And I'm not saying you're going to solve that overnight, but appreciated one of the focuses of the book that he had was around that encouragement for congregations and parents too. And so parents obviously have a great opportunity with talking about mom and dad and the relationship that's there. So really appreciate his insight on that part of it.
I think there are spaces for supportive adults, for youth leaders, for youth ministry to step in and have those conversations in a way that doesn't have to be scary for everybody or intimidating or I just know as a youth leader myself, whenever these kinds of conversations would come up, there is just sort of a natural, like, part of that is like, I don't want to have that conversation without mom and dad,
right?
I want to be partnering well with parents because that is a responsibility we share to continue to have those conversations, and parents should be taking the lead. But also, our hesitancy, for whatever reasons, can't be the reason that we avoid telling our young people about the good gifts that God's given them, right? And so it's a lot about how we frame it up and how we think about those things, how we come to it with curiosity. I really appreciated that. Come to the conversation listening well with the challenge and the grace that we talk about in the seven practices, to have that conversation in a healthy way over and over and over again, and not just like, okay, once we're going to talk about the sixth commandment, then we're never going to talk about it again.
Right. Well, and to that point too, and I know, again, if his book's a great resource on this, is to talk about this. These topics are a journey for a lifetime.
Sure.
So, and he, I mean, I think it's framed in both of a standpoint, like, these are things that are going to continue to come up in different contexts at different ages, in different relationships, in different phases of life, when these dynamics are going to be something that want to be discussed. And we can already start giving that foundation to young people at, you know, whether it's high school or even younger, around those things. And at the same time too, God's grace is this thing that continues to come with us as well, and continues to refresh us, and are the forgiveness of our sins that we have, even around these issues that both, like you said, it's sometimes us receiving forgiveness for our own sin and living that out. But then also for a young person to know that, yeah, there's going to be brokenness. There's going to be sin that's going to be around these issues, and God's grace is greater, and we go to the cross with it. And so it's a great pattern around this, because again, it's going to be some fruit and some foundation we want to give them as they age and mature as people too, and get into, again, different relationships and different contexts of life.
Yeah. I think one of those hurdles, and maybe we don't think about it nearly as much as maybe we should, to young people talking about, even when they accidentally come across this on, say, like, their technology, is this idea that they're afraid, if I tell mom and dad that I saw this, that I experienced this, that mom and dad are going to take my tech away.
Right.
They're going to take my phone away, and I'm going to lose access to X, Y, or Z, even if what happened was accidental. Or if I admit that accidentally, and then I got curious, and I have spelunked into this space again, to be able to say, like, hey, look, if we can have this honest conversation, if we can have this honest conversation as an adult leader, and then we're going to bring mom and dad into this, that doesn't, we can have that conversation without necessarily, there might be boundaries. I love the tech covenant. We have a copy or we have a version of that on Youth eSource. We're going to have conversations around this, but we don't have to be afraid of this, having this conversation, because, you know, all of a sudden I'm going to lose my phone forever.
Right. Or lose a friend because I can't be with a friend anymore,
right,
because
yeah.
I have it with you. Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Yep. And be able to have engaging conversations about that.
Right. And I do appreciate, we have a new resource up on Youth eSource about this. It's a pornography conversation guide. We have several around different topics. This is a new one that we just put out, that can be a really helpful resource as well. And we're hoping there's going to be some more resources around this moving forward. So some closing questions for you to consider. What might be holding you back from having a conversation about pornography with your youth, and how can you build confidence to start that conversation?
What resources around these topics might you start to gather for parents and young people as they faithfully walk through a culture that is trying to pull them away from God's truth and love through sexual temptation?
And then how are you approaching those conversations with curiosity, with challenge, and with grace, so that youth can continue to share with you their struggles with pornography and sexuality? We will continue to keep you in our prayers as you have hard conversations and help youth to build resilient identities in Christ that will help them resist what the culture may say to them about their sexuality and pornography.
End Goals Podcast is a production of LCMS Youth Ministry and KFUO Radio. To find links mentioned in the episode or more about LCMS Youth Ministry, go to kfuo.org/youthministry and find resources for youth ministry at youthesource.com. Thank you for listening and caring for the young people of our church.